Hey, you know what? You are here at the right place because obviously it might not be Monday, but this is Movies on a Monday. I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt. And Terrence, I'm calling it Marvel peaked at Endgame.
Wow.
Okay. Like, there's only been one thing that is on the level as some of their best before Endgame, and that was Spider-Man. Everything else, like, there's been solid. I liked Hawkeye. I liked WandaVision. I liked Loki. But it's not the same level.
Okay. So, just so everybody knows, obviously, we're talking about Thor, Love and Thunder today. And Matt's he's just coming straight out the gate.
I'm so Guns mad.
There is no, like, get warmed up to the conversation. We're in it at this point.
No. And just so you know, we're going to be talking about spoilers for Thor, Lore, Thub, and Thunder. No, we're talking about spoilers for Thor 4. So if you haven't seen it, then you're all right. You can wait. You're fine.
Usually on things like this, you and I, we're going back and forth, but I gotta give it to you. I did not like this movie.
No, it wasn't funny. They tried so hard to be funny, and they just weren't.
It was a little too over the top. I think what made Ragnarok so good was there was like a way to it, and they had fun, but it wasn't like just absolutely, let's just get ridiculous with it. And that's what I liked about Thor Ragnarok, because it still kept it, like, the movie moving forward. I did not feel this with this movie at all.
Yeah, I think a great example of what worked for Thor Ragnarok and didn't work for this is there's also a little bit of something fresh with it. It was a very fresh take of Thor, and we hadn't seen in Thor 1 and 2. And so, like, when they go to Asgard in the first one and he shows up and then there's the play and Matt Damon's in it. And you're like, oh, that's funny. You have Matt Damon. Like, even before that happened, if you would have just given that as a pitch meeting to someone, like, they go, they're reenacting Thor 2 and Matt Damon plays Loki. You'd be like, that is funny. That's a good joke. Yeah. And then this one, same exact joke, except for it's Melissa McCarthy. And they don't add anything really new to it besides changing some nouns. That's the whole movie to me.
Well, and plus they try to, like, expand the joke with them, like, you actually see them out of character, and to me, this movie, after a while, it just became boring to me, and I'm like, okay, let's just get to it. I think, just so everybody knows, Matt just took a huge, like, pork bowl of spaghetti right up in there.
And spaghetti's not one of those meals you can just kind of, like, sneak. You can't be like, let me take one bite at a time. No, you're getting all, like, squid face when you go for it.
That's true. But I just, from even the opening, I knew, like, okay, this movie is not going to go the way I think it's going to go. And yes, is Chris Hemsworth funny? Yeah, he's funny. Were the Guardians of the Galaxy good in the 5 minutes they're in the movie? Sure,
why not? I wouldn't even say that, just because they didn't have content. Like, what, Bradley Cooper had maybe two lines?
Yeah, maybe.
there was one time that I laughed at something the Guardians did, and it was when Korg was trying to figure out the whistle and he points to Mantis and she just goes, ah, like, that was funny. That was in character. And then there was one other joke in the movie that I thought was funny, and everything else landed. Like, I seriously can't think of anything else that was funny besides those two things. But I did like the recurring gag of Stormbreaker, so, like, creeping around the corner when he was, like, pining for Mjolnir. My wife didn't think that was funny. She thought it was a little overused, but I thought that one was the funniest part of it, and that's it.
Well, see, I would actually agree with you. I felt like they went way too far with that. And it's like, okay, just let it go. This is not like some sentient being. You guys haven't played it that way before. In the comic book, yes, it's somewhat alive, but you have not played it that way. So why all of a sudden it's going to be played that way? I just don't like it. I think I'm all about inclusion. And you and I have gone back and forth. I celebrate. Hey, let's try to get all like people
don't say it that way, like you celebrate and I'm like, no, only white people.
No, obviously we both believe the same thing, but at the same time I felt like this was going overboard. It's like, okay, I get it. Like we're all about the LGBTQ plus community. I'm not going to like be mad at that, but that'd be like going all in on the straight. Like, hey, you guys, you know how we love women? Yeah, that's awesome, right? Let's all love women. Like, okay, calm down. This is getting to be a little too much at this point.
Good for you that you love women. Have a sticker? I don't.
Well, and that's how I felt. Like I know like that the whole community, I know it can be a little sensitive sometimes. And anybody that's listening, I want you to know my heart. I love people and I'm not putting down that community like that. I'm not doing that. I just feel like this is like way over. Like there are some movies where I'd be like, okay, they're way too black. Like I get it. You like black people. Let's just keep the movie rolling at this point. Like, you don't need to constantly be like, we got black dude, right? We love black people in this movie. Like, okay, I get it. Yeah, we're good. And that's how I felt like this movie was.
Yeah, and I've always like with that, it makes me feel icky because I wouldn't say it's racist to do that, but it's definitely like knocking on that door to be like, let's parade this black guy around and look at how great this black guy is. It's like, yeah, he is, but like you parading him, how is that different than like Dance Monkey Dance? Like that feels like that level to me.
You know what? I think that is actually, I think at this point now, it's not only become parody, but it's become like there. I would say if they did it the same way with a black person, I'd be like, you're using me now at this point. You're using me to make yourselves feel good. And that's how I felt like this movie. There were things where it's like, okay, you don't need to do that. This character, I get where they're coming from, but now we can just move forward with the story. Let them be people and not like this side attraction. We're going to make this quote unquote different thing. The main, like, it's just beginning was too much for me at that point.
And I loved that with Get Out because they did that with a subtlety where it's like the white family was talking about all the greatness of black people.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, it's the things that they can do for them. Like, oh, look at how Jesse Owens, like this great runner. And then like now the grandpa gets to be this great runner too. It's like, well, you just utilize it. You're using black people for their talents instead of for who they are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is a perfect point. I think that's absolutely correct. I would totally agree with that. Yeah. And I think what is now the MCU is suffering from, and yes, we should give a little leeway because obviously COVID happened and it jacked everything up, but there is no connective tissue whatsoever. Like I know they have some vast plan and I'm sure they're going to retcon stuff, but at this point we've all heard the arguments and I think they should have easily gone back and put something in the movie before it came out. They should have put an end credit scene, because for me that's what it's missing right now. Like I'm like, where are you guys going? Every movie is different. I feel like we're always trying to add kids now because of course you have to have a young Avengers and so everybody's going to have a kid. Like, come on, like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah, the one thing I will say about this movie, there's like two parts I'm like, okay, these are good scenes. There's two scenes, guys, two scenes of the whole movie that I was like, these scenes are legitimately good and I liked. One of them was the use of giving like all of the kids the power of Thor. I was like, that's a creative, clever use in this final time of what they're doing. And then I liked the Eternity scene. But the Eternity scene actually ends up being like the other side of a negative, because the theme of this movie, at first I was like, yeah, I'm on board with this theme, because I think that there is a very real, like as a Christian, there is a very real population that has had faith at one point, but because their prayers felt unanswered or because things didn't go the way that they expected them to go, they walked away with pain. And then they put that on God, and they put that on him and say, oh, God's unfeeling. He doesn't care about me. He's not going to answer my prayers. And I did like that the final scene with Gore was him like being able to once again hope and once again be able to have faith and to pray again. But as I said last week, when we talked about Hacksaw Ridge, it's like, you can't spend the entire movie going one way and then like the end be like, by the way, that way is bad. Like, you just showed me the entire movie why someone's behaving this way. And then one scene is like, no one's going to walk away with that. And so like, for me, after I thought about that, I'm like, well, I, as a Christian, I don't want anyone to watch this movie and be like, you know what, he has a point, and have confirmation bias and dig in deeper into that pain. And I really hope that people don't walk away with that of identifying with Gore.
Well, okay, so let's start with the beginning, since this is spoilers. We're ruining the movie for you at this point. So from the very opening scene, I felt like the movie didn't take itself seriously, and it could have. Yes, I know we want to keep it like comedic and whatnot, but for me, it totally took itself out of a real good theme that they could have had, where it's like Gore, he loses his daughter, and then he meets this god, and the god is kind of like all joking, like, yeah. Like, I didn't understand that whatsoever. And I know the comic book, like, depiction of what actually happens in the comic book. And that just took it in such a weird, like, funny route. And I understand it's Disney, so you can't, like, show blood. But having, like, gold splattered everywhere, it's like, it's gold, gold. I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird. You got gold everywhere. And they didn't describe what the Necro Sword is. Like, it just, they did not give it the weight that it was supposed to have. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a whole backstory that it be convoluted and you can't just explain that in one movie. I don't even feel like it hinted towards anything. It was just like, it's a sword that corrupts you. Oh, okay, why is this the one sword that can kill gods? I don't understand.
Also, you have power over shadows. Okay, but you didn't do it well. I'll just go watch Stranger Things if I want to see someone controlling the shadows. That's what I'm going to do.
And you know what? Am I wrong for saying, I actually did not think Christian Bale did a good job acting in this movie.
I felt like he just didn't have material. I felt like he, like, I liked... the atmosphere of his character, like the design, and especially like when they go to the shadow planet and the cinematography of that. But overall, like, I wouldn't say he actually is probably the best part of the movie. Even now that I'm thinking about it, he might be the best part of the movie because the movie had a low bar. So I think I disagree with you, although I wouldn't say like Christian Bale was like, oh, he blew me away, what a great Marvel villain.
I guess maybe you're right. Maybe it was just what he had to work with, but I just felt like there's so many parts where this movie could have had some very strong, like, emotional beats. But even with his daughter dying, I did not feel like that could have been a lot heavier. That's what I feel like.
I think the two themes ended up combating each other because of that. Like, the stuff with Gore, because in order for that to land the way that it should have, you needed Thor to be more sure of himself and to be good. Like, we know Thor has a good heart, and that was kind of the redemption for Gore. Is like, not all gods are this way, that Thor doesn't deserve this. But throughout the movie, he's not acting with a good heart. He's acting confused. He's acting insecure. He doesn't know who he is. He's making bad choices, all that sort of stuff, even though he wants the right thing. And so to have kind of like, I don't mind that they were wanting him to have like this journey of discovery into falling in love again and like ending on that note, but it just makes both of these not land. It's like, you know, when you're driving at night and you go on off the road a little bit and there's a, like, that's what it felt like of trying to combine the two themes. It just didn't work
well. And so if you guys watch the trailers, it shows, like, it seems like he's stepping back from war, and he doesn't want to fight no more. He doesn't want to be that person no more.
Yeah.
And in the movie, that's not the case. That is not, I don't know why they did such a dramatic shift from what you see in the trailers to what we actually got. I would have liked a Thor like that. That would have told me, that would have said more about the theme than what we have. Because I feel like if you're taking a Thor that doesn't want to fight no more, and that just, maybe I just want to live my life and I want to discover new things besides me fighting. It's like, okay, now you're putting aside your lowercase God role, and you're just trying to just do what you want, but there's a responsibility. And I think if we were to lean heavy on that, because you have Jane Foster, that's like not only taking up the responsibility, but she's also sacrificing for the responsibility. That to me is a way better story. Yep. Than,
Yeah. And because of that, like, I think that would work really well with kind of what I'm saying of like, you know, when Gore and Thor interact, then have Thor be just so good in Gore's eyes that it makes him question this new belief that he has of all these gods need to die. Like, well, this guy isn't as bad. I thought that all the gods were selfish, but this one is actually making me rethink this stuff, instead of like the final scene being that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they could have done more with Tessa Thompson. I feel like they just threw her in there like, yeah, she was in the last movie, wasn't she? Yeah, we got to do something with her. What are we going to do? I don't know. Give her a scene.
And then the plot holes. We have to take these all the way to the Shadow Realm, and then we have to use Stormbreaker to get to Eternity, except for when we need Natalie Portman to show up all of a sudden at the very end, and then she can take the Space Horse, and then that's fine.
No. Even while I was watching that wasn't even like a thought after I saw the movie. It was in the midst of, wait a minute, how she get here? Like, what just happened?
What are you doing here? The plot demands me to be here, so I'm here. All right, I guess.
Well, and that's the other thing. They could have done way more with her character as well. I mean, this is very serious. She has cancer.
Yeah.
But looking like she could have had the whole thing where it's like, I'm dying, but I want to do something before I die. Like, I want to have my life mean something more than sit behind a computer screen. They did not go that route whatsoever. It was just like, you know what? I just want to have fun. And it's like, yeah. What? No, this does not make this story the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, this was the weirdest Make-A-Wish campaign I've ever seen. Just for a day, can I be Thor? All right, I guess. Let's make it happen. Show up here with Mjolnir. And then she shows up. There's Mjolnir in front of her. Then next scene we see her, she's Thor and she's fine. Like, there is zero chill with this movie. You're just jumping into it.
Well, that was the thing. It wasn't even like, oh my goodness, she became Thor. It was like, it almost seemed like she had been Thor for years at this point now.
Yeah.
It's like, she's thinking about touching this thing. And the next thing you know, they're like, yeah, she's the new Thor. And we got a statue of her. And this is amazing. Like, what just happened? Where's that journey?
Literally, there's been 3 minutes on screen. 3 minutes. And all of a sudden, we have years.
Being Thor.
And then, like, at least they did give one line of, like, him whispering to Mjolnir, because I'm like, okay, at least you're trying to explain something, even if it's one line. But still, you still rushed it. You still lost points, guys.
Yeah. Oh, even then, it was just like, so from what I heard is that they were like, this movie was 4 hours, and they cut it down to 2. And even Natalie Portman was like, yeah, there were so many scenes that just got cut out. Like, we did not see the whole scene where she actually becomes Thor. And like, when she, for the first time, because you can even, if you go and look online, you could see the non-CGI version of that. You could see them working on it. And it's like, they cut that all out. And
yet they kept the 5 minutes of the Matt Damon, Melissa McCarthy play in. That's clearly needed.
No. Well, when you spend the money on Matt Damon, you gotta use it. That's just a no-brainer. You gotta use that money. Well, And it was 2 hours, and it didn't need to be 2 hours. It could have been a lot longer. If it's going to serve the story better, then okay. This was almost the shortest MCU movie that we have to date. Man. And it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough to watch. It was tough to see them. Like we said with the Guardians, of they're in it for 5 minutes and they're gone. I'm curious, like, if we're going to look forward to, like, now what's going to happen in the MCU. Again, the last several movies and projects and TV shows and everything like that, there's not too many apart from this that I'm like, they really sucked. But at the same time, there's not really any apart from Spider-Man that I'm like, that was good. I'm glad I spent my money on that. And it's just, it's tough to see Marvel be here, because Marvel to me has now reached the point where I'm going to say it is not must see as of right now.
I think it's the connective issue, because even then, like, you take the worst of the last, before Infinity War, take all the movies, what would you say was the worst out of all of them?
A lot of people hated Thor 2. I didn't like Thor 1. I didn't like a lot Captain Marvel. I didn't like a lot Doctor Strange. So somewhere in there, maybe even Avengers 2, sadly, although Avengers 2 ended up being a lot more important to story. Like, it was a middle chapter, and it wasn't as strong on its own, but overall.
And see, even then, it's like the first Thor, you got introduced to Thor where it was building up to the Avengers. Second Thor, we got introduced to the Reality Stone. And all these other movies, there was a reason that it was a movie in itself, but it also served the bigger story. There hasn't been any of that thus far. And yeah, Spider-Man, even then, I'm like, at least we know where Spider-Man's at. At least we know that everybody's forgotten about Spider-Man, and I can see how that will play some type of role in the future.
Yeah.
All this stuff, I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I don't...
Shang-Chi is a little connected because of the rings and because of the stuff with Captain Marvel in the end credits scene. So, you know, you see glimpses of stuff, but definitely not the same interwoven.
Like, even with Eternals, from what I hear, and this could be totally wrong, there is a portion of the Avengers mythos that they do have a base inside of whatever that thing is called, I forgot.
A celestial?
Yes, they do have a base in there. So they could go back, and that could be the new Avengers base. I don't know.
it would be weird for it to randomly be that. They'd have to have like a good explanation first before they just suddenly were here, by the way. Just, we were on Zillow and it had a great rate and market prices are terrible right now. So
this is what we got. This is where we're at.
Tony Stark's dead. No one's funding us. This was a crowdfunded. Go fund me. Well, let's talk about a little bit of the future here too, even though it's hard to know. So I haven't seen confirmation of it, because they even like called her Love, and I saw other people saying like, oh, Love is a new MCU character. I'm like, is it? Isn't it just Singularity? Isn't that what they're going for? Because I felt like that's what they're going for, especially when they showed the reflection of her before they panned up to her that she was alive. She looked like Singularity in the reflection of the water. And her backstory matches a type of Singularity backstory. So I'm like, I think that's what they're going for, but yet no confirmation. What do you think?
Wait, what do you mean?
The character Singularity on the A-Force.
Oh, right. Okay. At first I was like, wait, what? Okay. Yeah. So there are a couple different ways that they can go for it. Now, there is Thor. He does have daughters. He has multiple different daughters. One of them, I could be wrong on this. I think one of them is kind of like an anti-hero of sorts, or it could be Singularity. I really don't know. I feel like, I don't think it's either. I think they're just trying to make a Young Avengers. That's what I feel like it is. Yeah. I think it's like, all right, well, we got to have a Thor in the group, right? Well, let's get a girl. That's how I feel.
And they're like, it's going to take us a while to get there, so we'll go ahead and cast a 12-year-old, and then by the time she's 20, we'll have a Thor 5 ready to go. But you did know that that is his real daughter in real life, Chris Hemsworth.
Yes, I was literally about to say that. Yep, that's his real daughter. And one of the kids that were like the wolf or whatever was Christian Bale's son.
Oh, nice.
And then Chris Hemsworth's wife was the werewoman that he had been with, his ex. That's weird.
She stood in for Natalie Portman in like Thor 2, I think, for a kissing scene. I remember that she had to wear a wig and all that sort of stuff. So good for him. Just putting his wife in there. His little lady love.
I honestly think what can happen. I think what's going to right the ship, this is my hope, is Black Panther. I think Black Panther is going to right the ship here.
I feel like if it doesn't, you're going to take it personally. You're going to be like, dude, Black Panther 1 and then Black Panther 2. What is this crap? What? Chadwick Boseman did not die for this.
Well, and see, I'm hoping, because that has the potential to do so much, because they've already said they're introducing Namor. Like, he's the villain of the movie. Is there going to be a behind the scenes villain? I think so, and I think that's going to be part of the connectivity issue with everything, because Namor, he is also anti-hero as well, where he does, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. So I think there could be someone that's behind the scenes, like making everything, but also at the same time, I think that movie has to have some weight to it because of Chadwick Boseman. There is going to be already an established weight.
Agreed. Yeah. I think it could easily do like what they did with Star Trek Beyond, where they recognize Leonard Nimoy died off screen. So they recognize that, and they do a good tribute of his character in this movie, of these characters dealing with his death. And so I think that that would be a great way to not only tribute to Chadwick Boseman, but also establish that weight of the film and all that. Changing gears here for a second. First of all, we never took the moment to give you the props that was due to you when you predicted this whole stuff with Gore and like his motivation and everything. So even though some of the details weren't quite right, you had enough broad strokes that you were going to give you the win on this one.
I'll take it.
And then secondly, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to go for a conspiracy theory here of, So we have Hercules was introduced in the post-credit scene. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
No, everybody says I need to watch it. I know.
I can't remember his name is, but this actor is a character from Ted Lasso. Great character. I love him a lot. But he is, I think they could easily have, because they're doing a live action Hercules directed by the Russo brothers. I could see them using Russo. They could use the same actor, and then you have the MCU connected to the Disney connected universe. And I think that we could see him as Hercules in both MCU and Disney live action. Conspiracy theory. People might be like, this sucks. This doesn't make sense, but I could see it. I could see it.
I don't know, man. You even brought up a point introducing Hercules. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, please don't. Like, I get that he's a character, but I feel like Marvel, they got a lot of like competence introducing way out their group, like Guardian of the Galaxy, and it blowing up. Kudos for that. But I don't feel like that's Hercules. I feel like they're trying to like get as many characters into the game, but they're not going for what we want. Introduce Fantastic Four. Introduce even a X-Men. You don't have to introduce the X-Men. Introduce a mutant. Give us that.
Terrence. They gave us Mr. Fantastic and Professor Xavier, both in the same movie. And an Inhuman.
Oh, gosh. Inhumans, they stink, okay? Anybody that asks, I know I've been watching Ms. Marvel, and they haven't gone into Inhuman territory yet. But just so everybody knows, the Inhumans were created because in the comic book wise, they were like, well, we have mutants. Let's see if we can do something else kind of like that. It was like a Hail Mary, if you will. And they did the same thing with the shows and the movies now with the Inhumans. They're like, well, we can't use mutants, so let's just do a whole thing about Inhumans thing. There is no, hear me out, there is no comic book story where everybody will go, oh yeah, that's a good Inhuman story. I guarantee it. There is not a one out there because, you know what, I'm not even going to say they stink. It sucks. Okay, they suck. It sucks. I don't like them.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because they couldn't use mutants, used Inhumans, and they actually did it well. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did well with that. They introduced Quake in it. And I also feel like Kamala Khan is better as an Inhuman than for her getting her talents or her skills through a bracelet. I don't like that as much. It makes her feel less special, even if it is saying like, oh, it only comes alive with you. Like, no, I think you, it should be you as an Inhuman, and that makes more sense to me.
No, the Inhumans is convoluted. And if you introduce the whole Inhumans before you introduce mutants, I'm upset. I'm like, that's dumb. Like,
I'm switching to DC. No, worse. I'm switching to the Sony connected universe. I'm watching Morbius like 9 times in a row just to stick it to you.
Did you hear? Like, even Sony at this point, we're like, okay, we have no idea what we're doing. Kevin Feige, can you please just take this over? Like, literally, that's what happened now. He's involved for the press.
Am I doing it right?
They even know how terrible they've been.
They should.
It's bad. It's really bad. I'm just, this movie, it made me really sad. It could have been something great. I already wasn't like super excited about the movie because I could feel where it was going. But now I'm just like, ugh, come on, man.
Yeah, I had a feeling too. I was like, I tried to get excited because I loved Ragnarok. It was one of my favorite Marvel movies. And I even on lists had put it higher than Avengers, like even Endgame or Infinity War sometimes. Wow. I loved it so much. And then this movie made Ragnarok worse. Like, that's hard to do. And it makes me so mad. I feel like if Black Panther 2 drops the ball, it could make Black Panther 1 worse for you. And I think you would never forgive Marvel for that. So that's how I feel about Thor Ragnarok right now.
Yeah, no, I'm going on record right now. Black Panther 2 is going to be the best Marvel. Anything Marvel has done this year, is Black Panther 2 is going to be the best. That's what I feel like.
I really hope so. It's also a low bar. For me, it has to beat Moon Knight. That's that right now. Moon Knight is the best they've done this year. And I know you didn't like it, but it's like,
no, Doctor Strange was good. Doctor Strange for me delivered on what I want. I really like Doctor Strange.
Okay.
I thought it was great. And for the first time, they used the TV shows and it added more to the experience. But that's me and a lot of talking $250 million of people. So I don't know.
Just because they spent money on it didn't mean that they liked it. How many people watched Morbius?
Not a lot, actually.
True. But still, I don't think we're going to find 30 million people out there who liked Morbius. No.
I feel like it has been a low bar. The TV shows have been good. I like Ms. Marvel. I like the art direction. I think the acting's awesome. I like what they're doing with her character, even though the show can be a little boring sometimes. But I thought the same thing about Moon Knight. Moon Knight to me was like, it's all right, I guess.
One thing I didn't like about Ms. Marvel, and I'll try and keep this vague because I don't want to spoil anything, but they did do a time travel element and then undid it like 5 minutes later. It's like, wait, what? Are you gonna address this again at any point, or was that it? Are we done?
That was a little weird. Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah, I was like, wait, what's happening?
Like, yeah. All right. Okay. That's fine. I guess this is the part of the world now.
We could do that. Oh gosh.
Yeah. Well, I am going to be taking a break for just a couple weeks. I'll be back. I'm in the show Matilda. It's the musical version. If you have Netflix subscription, they are actually doing a Matilda the musical. They're going to have that on Netflix at the end of this year with Emma Thompson. So I'm playing the part of the father, Mr. Wormwood. So when you watch, you can be like, ah, that was Matt in that show that I never went to see because he's in a small town far away from me. That rhymed.
There you go.
You're welcome.
And then I will. Oh my goodness. Oh, see, this is what Thor does to me. It just bores me.
I'm exhausted. I had to talk about Thor for 30 minutes.
And for the next couple of weeks, I will actually be on the road a lot. And then it's going to be baby time. Not baby making time, because that already
Stop
happened.
It. Stop it.
But we're having a baby. So who knows?
Sometime not Terrence and I. He and his wife.
Oh. Yeah, no.
We're not never. Two rocks over a lava pit. Hey, this movie had Dwayne the Rock in it. So, you know, that's why Terrence didn't like
it. Yes, I hated that. Like, I even, when they said it, I was like, come on, man. I was like, really? You're going to throw that in there?
That was twisting the knife just a little bit for Terrence.
It was. I'm like, that's just ridiculous. Ugh. Thor Ragnarok, or Thor Love and Thunder, you're getting a wait till it comes out on Disney Plus, if anything, from me. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that. I'd be like, you know what, you can skip this one. It's probably fine. Just watch a recap on YouTube or something.
Yeah, you could. Well, that's all we got for you. Yep, I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt. And I'm disappointed.
We're disappointed. Go watch another Marvel movie. For me, go back and watch Endgame. I love Endgame. Go back and watch that.
It's better.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Peace.